And welcome to Guy Next Door Speaks. I am your host, Ivan from Phoenix. Today is Friday, March 15, 2013. The first show, the last show that I recorded was done on Friday, March 1st, 2013. I forgot to mention that, so just wanted to put that out there to keep some continuous record or continuity. And my website is www.freeyourmindaz.com. This is episode number 2. And this is my second time recording episode number 2. Because after spending 1 hour and 34 minutes last night recording this show, I lost the show in translation, you can say. I was trying to convert it, and I forgot how I did it the first time, and I lost the show. So an hour and 34 minutes that I lost. So hopefully that was a good learning experience, and I can learn from that and repeat what I did last night and get another hour and a half out of this. So, all right. Announcements. Tomorrow, Saturday, March 16, I have a meetup with We Are Change Arizona. So if I'm able to post this show today, right away after doing this, and a few people in the Phoenix, Arizona area are able to listen to this show, tomorrow, Saturday, March 16, there is a meetup with the meetup group We Are Change Arizona. That meetup will be held at 11 a.m. at the Armadillo Grill, located on 19th Street and Camelback in Phoenix. All right, second announcement. Next Saturday, March 23rd, Free Your Mind AZ, the meetup group Free Your Mind AZ, will be having a Saturday chat over lunch, and this will be occurring at 12 noon, also at the Armadillo Grill on 19th Street and Camelback. And that it's going to be in conjunction with another meetup group, which I am the assistant organizer for, called Phoenix Awake and Aware. That is the group that deals more with, it covers everything, but more UFOs and dimensional topics, themes, and things like that. And finally, Thursday, March 28th, Free Your Mind AZ is hosting a free documentary screening, also in conjunction, participation, or partnership with Phoenix Awake and Aware. This documentary screening will be held at 6 p.m. The location is a member's residence, so we will not give that out. If you want the location, visit the website www.meetup.com/free-your-mind-az. Or easier, just go to my website, freeyourmindaz.com. On the top tabs, find the tab that says local meetups and click on that, and you can make your way to the meetup site. And once you RSVP as a member, you will receive an email with the address. All right. Oh, and that documentary screening, the film being shown that evening is called Jesus in India. It's a documentary focusing on the years of 12 years old to 30 years old of the character known as Jesus. This is a documentary that was recommended by the co-host Makoto from Phoenix Awake and Aware. Something he saw and wanted to share with people, so we decided to go ahead and show this. All right. I wanted to play the audio commercial for Free Your Mind 2. That is a conference that's occurring in Philadelphia next month, April. But I did not download it and did not feel like messing around with it. So the easiest thing for me to do is just to read the description off the website. And I want to share this, even though it's about a month, a little over a month away, month and a half or so. This event is taking place in the East Coast in Philadelphia, and since I know I probably have just a few listeners in the East Coast area, New York, New Jersey, or maybe even some people in Philadelphia, they might already know about this, but hey, it never hurts to spread information. So, Free Your Mind returns to Philadelphia in 2013 with a three-day conference featuring top-caliber whistleblowers from across the country who will shed light upon our world's problems and bring forward empowering solutions. This unique event will build upon the success of the first Free Your Mind conference in 2011 with a continued focus to spread awareness on the topics of consciousness, mind control, subversive occult influences, holistic body, mind, spirit health, and solution-oriented approaches to the problems humanity faces in these challenging times. The dates for the conference are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, April 25th, 26th, and 27th. Doors open at 8 a.m. each day. The location for the conference will be the Arch Street Meeting House, located at 320 Arch Street in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. For ticketing information and speaker bios, you can visit the website freeyourmindconference.com for more information. And there is also a link to this website on the bottom of the welcome page of my website, Free Your Mind AZ, if you want to find it easier. So that's that. All right. Like I mentioned already, this is my second recording of this show. I recorded this show last night when it was quieter. So right now I am recording it Friday, a little after 10 a.m. So you might hear a little bit of noise in the background, maybe. Hopefully not, because there might be traffic, some cars or dogs barking or people walking around talking loud. So if you do hear any background noise, I apologize in advance. But I will try and get this show in, because it's been about 2 weeks since the first show. And there's a reason for that. I waited these 2 weeks because basically, I listened to the first show a few times just to see how it sounded, and it wasn't bad, but I was kind of all over the place. My thoughts weren't focused, or my notes weren't in exact order, but what did help was that I basically just talked about Kevin Trudeau's audio CD, 25 Secrets to Wealth Creation, so that pretty much kept the show, you know, on topic, more or less, even though it was only about 54 minutes. So this time around, I took a while, not necessarily, although I felt like it could have been procrastination or laziness, but what it actually was, it was that I wanted to write down my notes and put them in order so that I can have more of a steady flow. And I think it came out beautifully last night, but enough of that. No more living in the past. I have two different notes here. What I do now is I have a little notepad which I carry with me at work or in the car. So as I come across thoughts and notice things in everyday life that I like to share on the show, I can jot it down in my notepad. And then I have a bigger notepad where I write down those notes and put them in some kind of order to make things flow. So hopefully I won't jump all over the place. All right. Now, first thing I wanted to do was recap or make corrections from the first show. And the first thing I wanted to touch on was the word occult, because believe in that first show, I said occult means hidden, which is right, but then I also mentioned something about human sacrifice and devil worship, satanic worship, stuff like that. And if that came across as occult meaning those things, that is not true. So I wrote down occult means hidden from sight. All right. So occult, occultare. I believe that's from the Greek Occultare. Occult, we get oculus, which is the eye, to see. So occult, sight, hidden from sight. Those who practice occulting most often also participate in sacrifice and child molestation, etc., etc. Now, I put most often. That mean doesn't mean everyone. Not everyone in occultism is devil worshipping, satanic, sacrificial, child molester, blah, blah, blah. But most of them are. And this is, again, according to research from multiple speakers and researchers over the years. So look up their information, or just look up satanic devil worshippers or dark occultists, or basically the work of David Icke and Michael Tesserian, and you know the names. All right, so that's one part. Now, another thing I wanted to correct or address was a comment that I made about my retention ability. I wanted to clear up that I'm not stupid. It's just that I take what stands out the most. I'm not too much into all the details. I get the general idea, and that's pretty much it. I'm good. The details are there. I'm aware of them, and I've come across them, but I pretty much try to keep it simple. And this brought me to a quote from Jim Mars from a video that is on my website on YouTube videos page 1. It's about the second or third line down or video down. Has a Jim Mars video presentation lecture. And in that he states something to the effect, I am a generalist. I know a little bit about a lot of things. So that's good, because the problem today is that we have specialists, people who just focus on one topic, one specialty, one thing, and that's it. And they claim or find themselves to be an authority on that one topic. That's all fine and dandy, but what about the other things, the rest, connecting the dots? So it's good to be kind of a generalist, where you know a bit about everything, so you get a bigger picture instead of just staying focused on one dot or one piece of the puzzle. As was mentioned by David Icke in a recent video from last week, that's also on the website. It's on the recent editions on the first page, welcome page. I have a video posted that's David Icke on the Russell Brand Brand X show. And in that he does mention how it's a bunch of puzzle pieces, and once you start putting the pieces together, you get a bigger picture as to what's going on. So again, don't focus on the individual pieces. Recognize them, acknowledge them, but look at the bigger picture. Connect all the dots. Be a generalist. So that's that. All right. I wanted to make a correction also on a comment I said about my having teachers or mentors. And this stems from listening to a particular show a day or two after I posted my first show. I was being addressed directly in a roundabout way when this show that I listened to, they was mentioned stuff about spoon feeding the general masses and how that's not going to be effective, that's not going to work. I'll get a little more into that here later down the line, but I wanted to comment on my previous statement about having teachers or mentors. And there are no teachers or mentors. There's only guides or like road signs. So that correlates with the quote I have on my website. Up at the top of the first page, a quote from Morpheus to Neo in The Matrix, where he says, I'm trying to free your mind. I can only show you the door. You're the one who has to walk through it. So that's the same thing. It's not that Morpheus is a teacher or mentor. He's just someone who's trying to guide Neo to the truth, to some information, to a knowledge. And that's the same thing with all these researchers or lecturers or speakers. They're not necessarily our teachers. That's one name, but they're not, it's not. I see teachers kind of like the Kung Fu Shaolin movies, you know, where you have the pupil running after the teacher, master, master, and all like servants and kind of kissing up to him in a way. So that's the picture we want to try to avoid. So it's more of a guide, someone just pointing you to information. All right. So I wanted to clear that up. I get it. All right. Okay. Now, another comment I had made, I was trying to name a person who introduced or brought attention to the Trivium. I was talking about Jan Irving's Gnostic Media podcast, how he brought up the Trivium, but he did not create it, obviously, he didn't discover it. It was presented to him by Gene Odenning. So that's a name you might want to look up, Gene Odenning, if you Google or go to, actually on my website. Again, YouTube video page, I'm not sure which one, maybe page one or two, there's a video on there, the Gnostic Media podcast, Jan Irving and Gene Odenning talking, breaking down the Trivium. And that's where it was first brought to my attention, was through that Gnostic Media. So I wanted to clear that up. Okay, now what else is there? I had a few notes here that I had to go in and kind of shuffle, a few arrows going here to there to put things, like I said, a little more fluid, more context. Okay, now, sticking to the thing about teachers and mentors and comments about spoon baby feeding, spoon feeding, and kind of just forcing the stuff on people. And I understand that. I understand that the way things are now, this world, to quote George Carlin, people are fucking dumb. Okay. And yeah, there will be some cursing, some explicit language here and there, because if you noticed watching or listening on the iTunes, I did post a show with explicit in the description, because once in a while you do need to just lash out and curse, and this is free and this is on iTunes and it's a podcast, so I can do whatever I want on here pretty much. So I will speak however I feel like it. I will try and keep it intelligent and not street language, but once in a while I will drop a few F-bombs or, you know, just some other stuff. And there you hear in the outside my dogs. So, okay. Teachers, mentors, comment, spoon feeding, and or being harsh and just putting out there. There's something I wrote down here about truth movement. All right. I wrote down truth movement is like the human body. You have the heart, which pumps blood. The stomach uses acids. The brain is formed of cholesterol mainly. Now, cholesterol in the heart causes cardiac arrest or heart disease. You know, your heart doesn't function properly if there's cholesterol. You have acid in your brain that causes death or leaves you in a vegetative state. Now, again, I'm not a medical doctor or biology major, so if some of these facts or statements are true, feel free to correct me and through my comments on the website, but I'm just trying to make a general point here. So acid in the brain causes death or vegetative state, and blood in the stomach is not good for the body because it needs the acids. Blood will not work. Yet the body uses all these parts to do their part to function. Now, I use this example to address how different people in the truth movement use different forms. There's different ways of doing things. All right. So like the way the heart does its thing, the brain its thing, the stomach does its part, the liver, kidneys, lungs, they all function differently, but yet they all work to the same purpose, which is to keep the human body alive, to keep it functioning. So, that's the main goal. Same thing with the truth movement. truth movement is, you would think, just to get the truth out there. All right, anybody, you know, wanting to be free thinker, truth seeker, it's all about the information and waking people up. How you do it, hey, that doesn't matter, just do something, it's being done. So yeah, my way might seem a little bit spoon feed, baby feeding, you know, just nice and not aggressive and telling you, hey, wake the fuck up, you bastards, not, you know, that kind of thing, although that does need to be done also. But who knows? Maybe this way I can pick up some other people that aren't gonna run away when they get yelled at or faced with you know, doom and gloom scenario. Okay, let's see, what else did I put down here? All right, I put down a quote from a Superman movie, the 1977 original Superman. I got online and I found this place that has the dialogue lines from movies, and I found the quote that I wanted to use. Now, I'll read the quote first and then break it down the way I see that it applies to what I'm trying to convey here. All right, the line is from Superman, 1977. The quote is from the character Yor-El, played by Marlon Brando in the film, who's Superman's father, or biological father. And the line goes like this: "Live as one of them, Kal-El, to discover where your strength and your power are needed. Always hold in your heart the pride of your special heritage. They can be a great people, Kal-El. They wish to be. They only lack the light to show the way. For this reason above all, their capacity for good, I have sent them you, my only son." So that line was bouncing around in my head for quite a while. And in the last few weeks, particularly, wanting to bring it up on the show, and this little segment here provided that opportunity, because it touches on what I wanted to convey. So now, breaking down that quote, some of you might pick it up. It's pretty, you know, it could be quite evident, self-evident. But then again, some people might need a little bit of deciphering here. So, live as one of them. So, that's pretty basic, but I'm thinking that among us, obviously, this world has a few billion people, and not everyone's awake. There are very few who know what's going on, so live among them, all right? So someone who knows what's going on or has knowledge, information, or an ability that the others don't. So there, to discover where your strength and your power are needed. So obviously, it's not needed to go out and, you know, build a new kind of way of making money and become wealthy or whatever. It's a way of changing life on Earth or helping humanity better itself. All right. Always hold in your heart pride of your special heritage. All right. It could be, you know, sounds a little like an elitist or royalty or whatever. But again, special heritage is brought up with knowledge, with certain information that the rest do not have, or an ability that the rest do not have. Don't abuse it, use it, apply it for good. All right, they can be a great people. See, again, the people have that capacity. They're just kind of neutral right now. Humanity is just laying there and getting walked on, stepped on, used and abused, and they don't have a clue. All right, they wish to be a great people, right? Because we have all these religions and all these political statements and things of, oh, the USA and the best, the humanitarian effort and the religions with you know, do unto others and all this good thing. But yet, what's actually happening on the earth? You know, murder, killing, war, famine, suffering. So obviously, we're not doing our very best. All right. They only lack the light to show the way. So that right there, again, Morpheus to Neo. I'm trying to show you the door, or trying to free your mind, I can only show you the door. You're the one who has to walk through it. So right there, lacking the light to show the way. So, and light, that's light, you know, darkness, light, darkness, illumination, information. So again, there's that little symbolism. For this reason, above all, their capacity for good, I sent them you, my only son. See, so it's not, that's a little bit Messiah, Savior, complex theme a bit. But if you step out of that, that's also the few that have this information that needs to be shared, that needs to be spread. It needs to be out there to awaken humanity that they have the capacity for good. They lack the knowledge. So that's what I got out of this. And that's why that was bouncing around in my head for a while. And I wanted to put that out there. And along those same lines, I also have the theme of Star Wars with the Jedis. There are a few hidden among us who know the truth. So watching episodes 1, 2, and 3, you see how there are millions or billions of people or beings, but yet a handful of Jedi, all right? And at the end of episode 3, there's just very few Jedis. At least we only know of Yoda and Obi-Wan Kenobi. And when we go into Star Wars episode 4, basically all we know about is Obi-Wan Kenobi. And then eventually Yoda. So those appear to be the only two Jedi that are left. But yet, those few are in hiding. But they know the truth. And they're just waiting for the right time to reveal that truth. To make that change. And that truth comes out with Luke Skywalker. They tell him the truth. And he goes into action. And that's where the movies, you know, start turning around from the dark side, the Empire, to, you know, the light side, to the Force. But that's the movie. But the theme is that there are few who know the truth and are hidden until the right time to bring that truth out to make a change. So that's what I wanted to add there. All right, what else did I write down here? Let's see. Along those same lines, there's a TV show that's on now on Fridays on Fox called Touch with Kiefer Sutherland. And the theme of this show is that everything is connected, that a few see the connections. Again, this show hints at how the world is sick or it's messed up. And just like any other living thing, it creates antibodies. It has an immune system. It tries to heal itself. So just like your body, it gets sick or something, or it's going to fight an infection or a virus. You have white blood cells. And again, I'm not a biology major, so the details might be all over the place. But you know what I'm trying to say. The body has a way to cure itself, to heal itself. And it's not like a big old rush of sudden change where your body just morphs. No, it has little things it does that eventually heal itself. So using microcosm and macrocosm, as above so below, or the little reflecting the large, the world or the universe, in this case the world, is probably doing the same thing. The world, humanity, it's sick, it's going down the wrong path. So perhaps, don't you think that the earth will create antibodies or little white blood cells, free thinkers, truth seekers, these speakers out here, and you know, to heal, to cure, to fight the disease, antibodies that are going to speak truth into the world. So, you know, that's what I think the show is hinting at, because the show deals with about 36 individuals, special individuals who can change the world. They see things differently. They see the patterns. They see the connections where everything is connected and how changing one little thing affects other things. It creates change just by changing one little thing. So I know I probably explained this much better last night when I was awake and pumped for this, but now, all right, I'm trying to retrace my steps, but no excuses. Okay, so that's the TV show Touch, and let's see. I wanted to touch on Goddess of Severity. All right, there's something about this. Might go back a little bit to the baby spoon feeding and harshness. How there are two different ways of learning something. At least two different ways you can learn. Like the example of don't put your hand on the stove or you get burned. You can tell someone that and they'll take it from you, believe it, and don't do it. Lesson learned, fine. Or you're going to have severity where the person or the child doesn't believe you and they want to learn the hard way. So they will put their hand in the flame or on the stove and get burned. Lesson learned. It was more drastic, it was severe, but they both accomplished the same thing. So that might have been a little out of place there, but going back, I wanted to put that in there. Now, let's see. What else? Okay. Another correction real quick. Napoleon Hill, Andrew Carnegie. I mentioned the last show, Law of Success in 16 Lessons. How Napoleon Hill came across that the single most important factor that he observed was an obsession and a burning desire by these rich people, the elite. That's what they all had in common. But I missed or didn't touch on the fact that those are look like just like symptoms of psychopathy. All right, so that is someone who just is off balance, out of balance, instead of just making whatever's comfortable for them, just a million or just a couple of million, and they're fine and share it with the rest. No, you have these people who have to have billions and billions of dollars and never enough, and they become psychopaths, controlling and having everything for themselves. So that what Napoleon Hill pretty much discovered there was psychopaths. Those are the people who make all the money or control everything. And on the website, my website, freeyourmindaz.com, there's also a video on there. On the first page, about a little bit, quarter of the way down, it's a bit, few weeks old now, there's a show by Lee Camp that he does online now called Moment of Clarity Show, episode 1, it's called Billionaires, and he addresses this. He talks about billionaires, how they're just selfish, psychopathic assholes, just wanting more for themselves and less for everybody else. So if you want a little bit of information on that, check out that video. It's pretty funny and it's good information there. All right, also let's see, I wrote down here, use the controller's techniques against them, obfuscate the freedom that we're trying to have people achieve. All right, put down here training wheels. All right, so what I'm trying to say with that is that, all right, we have been, the truth has been hidden from us. We've been led to believe a lie, all right? The way of living is not the way it has to be, okay? And that's something that humanity has bought into. They've been sold that lie and they've bought it. Okay, so if that's the case, why not use that same technique against them? Because we know, or some of the ones who are in the know that people, when you give them this information, they're going to resist. They're going to find every excuse. They're too lazy. Watching their TV shows is more important and blah, blah, blah. So people more likely than not will come across freedom on their own. It probably won't happen on their own, left to their own devices. So I'm thinking, I'm of the mind that they might need to be fooled or tricked into obtaining their own freedom. And what I mean by that, it's kind of like Larkin Rose has a book called The Iron Web. And this is a little spoiler alert. If you plan on reading that book, skip the next 15, 30 seconds, okay? Because I'm going to give away an important part of the book. But if not, then screw it. The main thing with that book, The Iron Web, is that there's this guy who becomes president and he lies, cheats, steals, does all the things that politicians do to become president. And he achieves it. He becomes president. And in his speech, the acceptance speech or inauguration speech or whatever it is, he finally flips it and just spills the beans and tells things the way they are and how everything's all corrupt and how he lied and cheated and, you know, to steal their votes and got in there and he suckered them and all this stuff. And he starts telling them the truth and he lays down all these new legislation that he's going to put out there, ending the Federal Reserve, ending the FBI, the CIA, all these illegal or covert agencies, and just abolishing everything, pretty much tearing it up from within. How he has all these millions of pardons of victimless crimes for people who are in prison, you know, like drug offenses that don't harm anybody, just freeing people, letting them go. So basically, shedding light on the truth and messing everything up from the inside, tearing it up from the inside. So that's The Iron Web, for the most part, the main surprise, the like, holy shit part. So imagine that actually happening. So I do imagine that happening. That is what I'm trying to say here, is that instead of obfuscating the truth to control the people, might need to obfuscate the lie, the deceit, into actually giving people their freedom. And how would this be done? I think it would be kind of like Jedis, having people that know what's going on infiltrate the governments, infiltrate the banks, infiltrate the corporations, infiltrate all these agencies, and get to a top position that once they're in there, they can just tear it up from the inside out. So abolishing the FBI, CIA, Monsanto, the governments, religions, all these things have to be torn up from the inside. That's one thing. The other thing is probably that people have to be given their freedom. So it's kind of like training wheels, all right? You've seen how, you know, as a child, you're riding a bike and your dad or somebody's holding the seat, running behind you, and you think they're still there, and when you look back, they're like 100 feet behind you. You've been pedaling by yourself. You've been riding the bike by yourself. And all this time, you thought somebody was keeping you balanced, but it was you. So using that same theme, I think that's how freedom's going to have to be accomplished, because people have been zombied and dumbed down so much that they're just not going to do it on their own. So I'm pretty much saying that people are going to have to be given their freedom, and then we're going to have to slowly remove the training wheels, pull back, and have the people realize, yeah, I'm free, without realize, you know, not make it so obvious that it was given to them by somebody else, when actually it never was given to them by somebody else. It was always them. But if you leave it to them, they're not going to figure it out. All right, I think I've gone enough on this. So there's that. All right, what else? Let's see. Oh, okay. Now, you know, I did that on the other show also. I came across a part that I wanted to talk about and said, oh, okay, like, surprise. I know what's coming. It's here. Anyway, another Jim Mars quote that I wanted to mention that is pertinent to this is something also in that video that he says, things are the way they are because someone somewhere wants it that way. Okay? So think about that one. Things are the way they are because someone somewhere wants it that way. And that's been hinted at also. There are quotes, and I don't remember the specific quote. Some of you out there will recognize what I'm trying to get at. But there's a quote out there that talks about, in fact, I think even Jim Mars quotes it in that video that I'm talking about. So I guess this shows a lot about Jim Mars today. But he There's a quote out there about, how does it go? Something about our thoughts, opinions, and likes are fashioned by men that we've never even met or even knew existed. So that's true. All right. Why do we prefer a Mercedes to a Geo Metro? Why do we prefer a Gucci purse as opposed to something off the rack at Walmart? Why do we prefer, you know, a woman that looks like, you know, who can we say who's hot right now, supposedly, you know, Jennifer Love Hewitt or something? Because somewhere somebody dictated or put out there that this is what's of value, this is what's acceptable, this is what's good, and then these other things, nah, that's not so good, or if you're into that, then you're kind of lower standard or whatever. You see, so our opinions are molded, okay? So that pretty much shows. Oh, I remember what I was talking about on the previous recording. At work, synchronistically, a few days ago, I came across the magazine, Fortune magazine, for this month. On the cover shows a picture of some guy, a billionaire, and it says billionaires. And then the small caption, pretty much to summarize, talks about showing the 1,400 people who control the world. So there's about 1,400 plus billionaires that control the world. But yet, here we have these elections and all this stuff talking about, oh, the president, our leader, and the queen, and the whatever, prime minister of such, and president of such. But yet, here's this magazine showing, telling you right there, how it's these rich elitists, these 1,400 some odd billionaires who control the world. And that goes along the same lines of Jim Maher's quote. Okay, things are the way they are because someone somewhere wants it that way. All right, so think about that one. Okay, all right, moving along. What else? Let's see. Okay, I wanted to talk about, oh, yes, the internet. Internet. Remember when the internet first came about, it used to be called the Information Superhighway. All right, remember that? Information Superhighway. We don't hear that too much. I wanted to bring this up because just like a highway, you have traffic moving in a certain direction at the same speed, and the flow, it's moving, it's fine. But what happens when you get like a drunk driver or someone who doesn't know how to drive merges in with that traffic? So the information superhighway, you start having accidents or slow lanes, or it's not moving as fast. Now take that to the internet. If the internet is an information superhighway, you insert drunk drivers or people with broken cars, namely disinformation or controlled oppositions. So where the internet can be providing a wealth of truth and knowledge, you could probably also come across information that's damaging, that's not helping move forward, that it's disinformation and, you know, lies. So I wanted to throw that out there, that correlation or that, you know, parallel thing about the internet being an information superhighway. And just like a highway, you get drunk drivers and stuff on there that will mess things up. It'll mess up the flow of things. So just wanted to make that little comparison there. All right. Okay, let's see. All right. Being around like-minded people, all right, I see where they are missing parts of their ideas or their perspectives are incomplete. I put this down here because 2 weeks ago, the day that I posted the first podcast, that weekend there was a UFO international conference here in Arizona, and I attended for 1 day some of that events that evening, and I was around quote-unquote like-minded people, but yet they don't have the full picture. They're kind of limited, or they're stuck. They only go to a certain you know, so far, and Mark Passio referred to this as tent pitchers, people who are on the journey with you going up a mountain, but they get to a certain point that they just pitch the tent and, I'm not going anymore. Without finishing, they're not going all the way. So I noticed there are people like that, that they have a certain idea, certain perspective, and it does match the truth. There is truth in there, but they don't go deep enough. Okay? So, and the other thing, not to bash the UFO movement and stuff, but there were times being in this group, in this atmosphere, that there was slight bullshit being talked, the stuff about the Galactic Federation, December 21st, 2012, around that time, the shift that the Galactic Federation reneged on some existing contract or some agreement, and how Earth now is protected and everything's going to be all right and we don't have to do anything, so that usual New Age stuff about us not having to do anything, but yet look at the world, things are getting worse. We got governments buying 2,700 armored tanks for the police and millions of rounds of ammo, and more legislation being passed, and there's still wars and suffering and death. So where is this Galactic Federation making things better? But okay, I see it as December 21st came and went, nothing happened, so they got called on their bullshit, and now it's something else. They're like, oh, yeah, something did happen. It's just not seen yet. It happened out there. Well, okay, it could be. I'm not saying it's 100% false, but we don't see anything, all right? We're the ones living in this real world, and I believe we're the ones we've been waiting for. We're the ones who have to take action and do something. We can't leave it to someone else. So that's the same story as, just wait for Jesus to come and save you and live this life, and in the next life, once you die, that's when, you'll be free and, you enter the kingdom of God. And you know what? So why are we bothering with living this life then, if it's all going to be done later or by somebody else? So again, a little bit of logic, a little bit of critical thinking, and start breaking things down. So anyway, wanted to bring that up because not all like-minded people are exactly the same. It might be similar, but some of them are hesitant or stuck on certain things. So some people might get offended. Fine, do your own podcast and send it to me and rant, or send me, contact me through the website, freeyourmindaz.com. There's a contact page on there. You can write an email or send me a message, or even faster, pick a blog that's on there and comment on the blog, because the emails from the website, I do not see right away. They do not go directly to my email box. They go to an email that I have to log on and check on my own. So I do that once in a while. Whereas the blog comments, I see those every day, because every day I check to see how many hits or visits the website gets. And when I'm checking that, I see if there are any new comments to any blogs. So if you want to get a message to me right away, that's the easiest way. Or just send me the email through the contact, and don't expect a reply right away, but I do check the information, the emails. All right. So, enough of that part. Okay, what else did I have here? Let's see. I guess I'm doing kind of okay. A little shorter so far from last night, 49 minutes into the show. I think I'm about the same pace, maybe a little bit behind, or shorter show maybe. But the information, I'm putting it out there again, just making this up as I go along, okay? All right. I have an example here of something, reality. Okay, what was it? What is this in reference to? Okay, let's see. Oh, let me see, I skipped this little part. Knowledge of what is actually going on is part of the solution. That goes back to what I was just talking about with like-minded people. So knowledge of what is actually going on is part of the solution. So if you don't know what's actually going on, if you don't know that there are some elites or someone somewhere who's now I missed that whole quote. Someone somewhere making things, you know, are the way they are because someone somewhere wants it that way. If you don't have the knowledge of what is actually going on, then you don't have part of the solution. So you have to dig. There's more information, more research. Everything's connected, more parts of the puzzle. So again, this correlates with being a generalist. If you just believe the UFO stuff and the Intergalactic Federation is going to save you, but yet you're not realizing the elite, the dark occultists, their rituals, their mind control techniques, then you're not getting the full picture. If you don't understand money and how that's a construct, a talisman, another form of mind control, you're not getting the full picture. If you don't understand food, genetically modified organisms that you take into your body and that helps slow down your mental process, because the food you take in, your body does recreate itself constantly. So whatever you take into your body, you are what you eat. And if you're eating genetically modified foods, then your body isn't performing at its optimum ability, capacity, and your brain is thinking slowly. So GMOs, food, what you eat, that, again, another part of the puzzle. So there's a lot of different areas, a lot of different parts here. So again, a generalist is the best way to go. Know a little bit about a lot of things and don't stay focused just on one area, expecting that to be, you know, the holy grail of everything. So, all right, let's see. Okay, this is the an example that I wanted to give about creating your reality. All right, let's see. Yep. Okay. An example is like driving, going to work or driving somewhere. Whether you go or don't go, whether you turn left or turn right, whether you do it now or later, that creates reality and it has effects. All right. So I wanted to bring this up. This thought came to mind and I wrote it down and I wanted to put this on the show, that we create our reality, our actions. We do create that. Every little choice that we make creates reality. And this wanted to bring up to address the God's will thing. Well, if God, you know, God willing, or like I always hear in Spanish, si Dios permite, you know, God willing, if God permits. And again, there you go, relinquishing your responsibility, that your actions, that you're in charge of your life, that things, you control things, or someone somewhere wants it that way. So God's will, now it's God. The example I wanted to give with this turn left, turn right, if you're driving to work or heading somewhere, you're creating your reality, or creating reality, period, because this is where I'm going with this. All right, be patient, hold on. If you turn right and go to work, let's say you turn right or left, whatever direction to work, right, it's going to be the one I'm going to use for this example. You go to work, fine, and you're where, quote unquote, you're supposed to be. You hear that all the time. You're supposed to be at work at such and such time. You're supposed to be here these days. Really? Or doing this artificial, repetitive stuff that doesn't really affect the earth, the planet? That is what I wrote down. Let me see right here. Let me see. Where is it? Before I forget. Oh, actually, it's coming up. Okay. All right. That's why this is on here. Because language creates reality and culture also. All right. Going back to the driving, you turn right, you go to work, you're at work. Maybe you're there and you create reality because, let's go with something negative. You're at work, something's going to fall on someone. You're there, you push them out the way, you create a reality. That person didn't get injured. Or by that same token, you being there makes somebody be at a certain spot where they wouldn't be hadn't you not been there, and this thing does fall on them and they do get injured.
Again, creating reality. Now let's take it the other way. If you turn left and didn't go to work this day, now you're creating reality in another way, because where you're driving, had you gone to work, you wouldn't be there, and this car runs a red light and creates this accident, and maybe someone dies or gets injured, life-altering experience that happens. But if you turn left and don't go to work, you're at that light, so this car does not run that red light, and therefore that accident doesn't occur, and now reality again is created, but differently. See, so every little thing we do, we're creating constantly reality, whether we know it or not. So we have effects. We do create reality. The trick is, the obfuscation is to make us think that we have no control over reality, that things are already happening because someone somewhere wants them that way. And for the most part, that's how the world is being run right now. Someone somewhere is creating things. Yeah, the little choices here and there, we do still create that little bit of reality, whether we go to work or not, or we're at the light or not, and accidents or good things, bad things, opening the door, not opening the door, things like that. But microcosm, macrocosm, as above, so below, the little things reflect the big things. So if we're not complaining and ignoring these laws that are written by a few saying you can and cannot put certain substances in your body, you have to pay certain money to us, if not we will come and throw you out of your home or throw you in a cage. So see, we're that reality exists because we let it exist. We don't do anything about it. We just, oh well, I was born into that. So that's the other thing. That's my next note. Born into this reality. Rules, laws already existed without my approval or acceptance. Okay, so we're born into this world. And look at how crazy this is. All right, look at this little example I'm going to give. We're born here in the U.S. and we can eat cows, chickens, pigs, turkeys. Okay, that's normal. Hey, it's Thanksgiving. You have to eat a turkey, all right? Or, you know, you're at a ballpark. You got to have a burger or hot dog. That's our reality. That's our culture, the cult you are in, culture. But yet, if we were born in Korea or in China, then, hey, where's my dog? Where's my cat? You know, we can eat dogs and cats. Or some other parts of the world, India, where's my roach? Where's my insect? I need my proteins. Now, put that here in America. Ew, that's nasty. That's disgusting. That's what we were born into. So, did we choose that? No, we were raised in that. I mentioned something similar to that in episode 1 with The Mastery of Love, a book by Don Miguel Ruiz, where he talks about the disease. Humanity has a disease and we hand it down to our children. And it's even divided by cultures. So American culture does not eat roaches, bugs, or dogs, but yet other cultures, those are delicacies, those are snacks. Okay, but yet do we decide this? No, the culture, someone somewhere wants it that way, and yet we don't even realize that. All right, so if the theme of this show, if I write down a theme, it probably could be someone somewhere wants it that way. All right, now almost to the end here, close to an hour, so this show could be a little shorter than initially recorded the first time, 58 minutes or so into the show, and I have one part here that's broken down to three sections, so this could take a few minutes here. I'll try and stretch this out some. All right, language creates reality and culture. Examples, one, money. Money makes the world go round. We've all heard that. That's a lie. Called water, air, plants, animals are not affected by money. Well, they are affected, but not by their choice. Okay, they don't acknowledge money. We do. All right, so water will still flow, air will still circulate, animals will still do what animals do, breed and eat grass and stuff, and you know, the plants will grow whether there's money or not. But we are the ones that think that everything depends on money. So again, language, it's creating our reality. Who's going to pay for this? Well, we need to feed the such and such and somewhere, but who's going to provide the funding? And so we created a made-up thing that's our own stumbling block. That's because someone somewhere wants it that way, okay? And yet we don't realize that. So money, culture, reality, that's all. That's the first part right there. Money is, we let that control our existence. And when you're born, you're born without any concept knowledge of money, but yet that is what decides whether you're going to have breast milk or powdered milk or something. If your family's poor, you're getting milk from the breast. If they have money, then, and your mom wants to keep her nice figure and her breasts perky, she's not going to breastfeed you. She has to, you know, go out and buy Infamil or whatever. See, so a lot of effects. Look at that culture. Okay, so reality, your choices that were taken away from you. You don't have choice. Okay, now two, religion. Having to worship or praise a deity, doesn't matter which one, creates conflict, division, and subservience. Has nothing to do with spirituality. You waste this life praying and serving because the reward is in the next life. And then to quote George Carlin, what are you, fucking stupid? We've heard him say that before. But that's true. So you're, again, language and, you know, your reality and culture, how you're influenced. So you're born into a Christian family, so, or Catholic like I was, and you spend all these years going week after week, the same sitting, kneeling, you know, the same prayers, and nothing's really changed, you know. Want to change things in your life to change, you have to change the things in your life. Insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. How many years has these churches been in existence and the world is still the same way? You would think after 10, 50, 100, 1,000 years, it's like, okay, I don't think this stuff is working. We got to try something else. But no, you're born into it. This is how we were raised, and this is how you will be raised. So you're Catholic, you're a Christian, you're a Muslim, you're a Jew. And it's like, where's your choice? No choice. But yet, there's reality created for you. Take it. You can't leave it. And if you do decide to leave it, what's wrong with you? You know, you're thinking for yourself. How dare you? All right. So there's my little thing. I wanted to talk about my detachment from Catholicism. That happened as a teenager. You know, I was an altar boy. Always going every Sunday to Mass, English or Spanish, same thing, kneeling, standing, kneeling, ring the little bell, and the holy water, or, you know, the wine, and the communion, all that stuff, fine, no change. And even at a young age, I was maybe 10, 11 years old, listening to these stories about Jesus ascending to heaven in the clouds, my mind was already thinking, 2,000 years ago, if that were to happen, wouldn't the people back then describe a guy getting into a UFO and rising up into the sky as a guy ascending in the clouds when all the smoke and stuff is being blown away by the UFO? Critical thinking, you know, just taking something, analyzing it, and creating other possibilities, thinking of possibilities, could be. The virgin birth. All right, Mary visited by the angel, and then she's pregnant. I was thinking, wow, they have movies and stories about aliens coming, abducting women, and artificially inseminating them, and them being pregnant and stuff. Wow, you know, could it be? These were thoughts of a little 10, 12-year-old kid, you know. Again, critical thinking, the imagination, but yet, say that to an adult, oh, blasphemy, how dare you, this is how it's written. Again, controlled. You're not free. No imagination, no creativity. This is how it is. That's it. So, hey. All right. So that's what happened. Eventually, I, you know, once I got of age, 16, 17, just stopped going and completely got out of it. And now, you know, I'm looking back and researching stuff and seeing what it for, you know, the truth, getting more information and learning. It's astral theology. You got all the religions are the same concept, and watch Zeitgeist, the first one, and look up the work by Arshia S. or D.M. Murdoch, Christ in Egypt, or I forgot the some other books, but just Arshia S., or even the documentary most recently, which I showed a few months ago at one of the meetups, documentary screenings, showed a new documentary by Joseph Atwell called Caesar's Messiah, The Roman Conspiracy to Invent Jesus. That was pretty, that was an excellent documentary. The guy references his stuff, uses the Bible, references that, and uses other texts from Josephus, who was supposedly like the Roman historian, writing about Titus, the Caesars, and how their stories are parallel to the chronicle of Jesus. It's like, wow, hey, so, you know, it's pretty convincing, pretty interesting information. Again, occult, hidden knowledge, all right, hidden information. So just look it up. Okay, moving along. Let's see, what else? Number three, laws, all right? Laws, like alcohol, is not allowed to be drank in public, open container laws. But you can drink in a bar or a pub, and then you have a heck of a time to try and get home without being caught by the police if you drank too much. I put down here, it's like the game of Frogger. I don't know if many people remember the game Frogger from the 80s, where you're a frog, you're at the top of the screen, and you got to make it to the bottom of the screen, pretty much crossing the street or the stream or something, and then you got cars and things coming across trying to hit you. That's kind of how it is. So you can get alcohol, drink at the bar, but good luck trying to make it home without getting caught. But all right, so drug laws make conscious altering substances taboo or evil. So right now, drug laws, or any law, but specifically drug laws, are the way alcohol laws were back in the 20s during Prohibition. All right, one day, yes, you can drink, everything's fine, and then somewhere, someone decides to write something saying, no, this is bad, we will not have that. Now, the same thing you were doing yesterday, you can go to jail for today. Or now there's violence because there are people who want that, and there are people willing to provide it. And basically, law enforcement is not going to allow that. The slaves, the zombies, they're just going to follow orders for their paycheck. So they will shoot at and confiscate and arrest you and throw you into cages and all this stuff. But guess what? The next day, you get something saying, okay, too much violence going on. It's legal now. It's fine now. So just like that, overnight, it's decided whether something is life-changing or not. All right, so see how we make things up and people forget this, and it's all over the place. And today it's the drug laws. All right, these are herbs like marijuana, you have mushrooms, you have ayahuasca, you have all these natural growing substances, herbs and plants that are here for a reason, all right, to help awaken the consciousness. But yet you lump that in with man-made drugs, LSD and speed and heroin, crack, all these things that are dangerous. But yet, the main thing is that it's not controlling the substance, it's controlling you, controlling what you can and cannot put into your body. Because I can decide to, you know, just shoot somebody or run somebody over, and I have to deal with that consequence. I have to, you know, pay for my actions. Now, whether or not a drug or a substance made me do that, that's irrelevant. The fact that I did it is what matters. So you can't put a law, or you shouldn't make a law, or you shouldn't believe that the law for making a substance illegal is because what you may or may not do later. Is this drug harming you? Is it damaging your body? Nobody's died from marijuana yet, as far as I know. So maybe somebody was high and drove a car, but you can be stupid and drive a car and run somebody over. So now, you know, if you're just stupid or don't know how to drive, you know, the same thing with drunk driving. So alcohol is legal. They let you drink. But if you get behind the wheel of the car, that's on you. It's not the alcohol. It's on you. Anyway, but the alcohol is far worse than the marijuana because that does affect your kidneys, liver, whatever. You know, you get alcohol poisoning like everything else. Too much of it, an abuse of a substance is bad, but still the main thing is that you're being controlled, being told what you can and cannot put into your body. So that's the main thing there. All right, so that's creating reality. So because someone somewhere wants it that way and we don't even question. All right, so my last thing here, these three examples are some of the tools used by someone somewhere to control how humans on this planet behave. All right, so this show was a little shorter but still longer than the first one, hour and 10 minutes. So all right, so hopefully everyone got a little something out of this. Some people, this might be a repetition, to take a line from someone I know, Broken Record, keeps talking the same thing over and over again, but that's how we learn, repetition, all right? Okay, so this is Guy Next Door Speaks, episode 2. I'm Ivan from Phoenix, and this has been episode 2, like I said. This should be up on iTunes or on my website, or this one's shorter, so this does fit on a CD. Hour and 20 minutes is the limit on a CD, so I can put the first and second episodes on some CDs and hand them out. Although I didn't do that for episode 1, because all I did was send emails out and post on Facebook and on my website. And from what I saw, I had about 40 some odd hits, visits to the website, the audio page. So probably about 40 people listened to this or checked out the audio on my website. And then as far as podcasts, I did not check those numbers. Last I saw, Podomatic had maybe 9 or 11 hits. So that's maybe 50 people. So that's better than nothing. It's a start. So share this with people. Link it to people. Email them the email address or the website, the link, or download the podcast, share it, whatever, if you like this information. Again, any comments are welcome. If you would like to possibly get on the show with me and we can have discussions, a little back and forth, hopefully nothing confrontational to make me prove stuff, because again, I'm just sharing information I come across. But if there's information you feel I'm lacking that I haven't touched on, even though it's only the second episode, then let me know. Send me an email, like I said, through the website contact. And if you have Skype, we can record something over Skype. Or if you're someone here that lives near me or here in Phoenix and you'd like to hang out for an hour or two, I have a new condenser microphone that I purchased, so I no longer have the headset on with the microphone right next to my mouth picking up all the licks and little lisp or whatever. So we can sit here and just have a nice little chat and share whatever information. All right, and along the same lines, also, anyone that's listening to this that's a speaker, researcher, that I will hopefully be meeting in April at the Free Your Mind Conference, if there's any information that you'd like to share, I will still be sending out emails now that I've done 2 shows to speakers and researchers to see if I get a guest or two on the show and, you know, see what happens. All right, so let me end this show. Again, it's Ivan from Phoenix. This has been Guy Next Door Speaks, episode 2. All right, so you have a good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, depending on when you're listening to this. I'll talk to you next time. Take care.